is the Tales from Davidstown podcast, delving into the behind the scenes of the audio series, graphic novel, and more, as well as speaking with the actors, writers, producers, and other creatives that bring the Davidstown world to life. This full-length episode for our Patreon residents was recorded on the 6th of August, 2024 in New York, England.
Hello, so welcome to the Tales from Davidstown podcast. We are joined with
Danny Shepherd
and me, Michaela London. And we've never met before. This is the first time we've ever met.
It literally is. Nobody would believe us though.
No, absolutely not. So today we're going to ask some questions to each other, get to know each other better.
Fun times.
Oh, God. So, Danny, what first drew you into acting, and how did your early life and childhood shape the decisions you have made into this industry?
What an interesting question. So, I have been wanting to be an actor since I was about 4 years old. And I remember there's actual video evidence of this. I tell everybody because it's a prime memory from me being 4 years old. I used to reenact the whole film, The Little Mermaid, and I'd do it word by word. I'd do the different accents, the different voices. My mum just got a whole video of me just doing this.
It's quite impressive.
Right, for a four-year-old?
Do you remember the whole thing?
Yeah. But my mum, I come from quite a poorer background, so we didn't have the money. My mum didn't have the money to send me to a class or anything like that. So it wasn't till I got to university, college and school, and that's when I started pursuing it properly. Getting an agent, getting headshots, and they're so bad from 2009.
But you got there, and that's amazing.
When you start off, you look back, you're like, oh, that photo from 2009 just does not look like a headshot, but we'll roll with it. But so I got into it from then. I started off in theatre, but I realised that I really want to do film and TV. That's my main ambition, because when I watch, I like going to the theater, but my main thing is, I don't know, I just love cinematography. I just love being the idea of being on a big screen is just surreal.
Do you think, because I came from a similar background to you, so I watched a lot of films. We didn't go to the theater because we couldn't afford to go to the theater.
Oh yeah,
so I think
so
that's why I love screen acting, because I grew up watching, my mum loved the Sound of Music and stuff like that.
Oh,
and
bless her.
I don't know. So I grew up watching family films with my mum. Do you think that's why you want to do more film and TV? Because that's what you grew up with?
I think so. Yeah. I think so as well. I think it's just so interesting. Plus, I just don't like to be kind of constricted to just one area. I like to travel and go to different locations and stuff. I'm proper extroverted like that. As you can see with my hands, I'm like this. But yeah, no, I do agree. That's probably what it is. We could never afford the theatre. And I think it's even more expensive now. So
yeah,
imagine being a kid now, no chance.
No, tell me that.
I know. What about you? What made you want to get into
So I had a similar background to you. So we had no money at all. So I used to play.
Oh, sure.
My friends take the mic out of me. I was going to swear then. I swear.
Sorry, oh, me too.
unfiltered. when I was younger, we were so poor. I used to play a game called Homeless with my sister, where we would pretend to be homeless in bed at night and only give ourselves a little bit of a duvet. Looking back, it's quite funny and sad. But so I was always playing roles, always playing characters, and my mum used to make me sing Annie.
Oh, that's so cute.
She used to have this bright ginger hair.
No way.
I was curling and loved it. I loved just performing, even though my singing was all right, but I was never going to be
Yeah, me too.
Celine Dion. So I grew up in a very, very similar, I suppose, background to you. Mm-hmm. I grew up with films, and it was kind of a bit of an escapism.
Oh, yeah.
And I've always loved performing, and I've realised that by performing, not only did I get to play different people, and I love people, but I also got to entertain people, which I loved. It's the people pleaser in me.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, right. So that's where it all started. But I was in denial for a while. I went to uni, did drama, but was like, yeah, I'm going to be a teacher, because in my head I was like, I come from no money. There is no way I'm going into an industry where I'll get paid bugger all.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? And I just didn't think it was possible for someone like me. I don't know about you.
Oh, yeah, no. I feel the exact... Even now, I still have doubts. I'm like, I'm probably not going to go further than where I am, because I don't have money. And that I feel like sometimes it is hard to do things, go to classes, go here, go there, travel, blah, blah, blah. when you don't have like a lot of money in like drama school.
Financial support, yeah.
I went to an audition at drama school and I actually got in, but I couldn't afford to go. And it was devastating because on the actual like application form thing, it didn't specify anything about like accommodating for yourself, basically. You mm-hmm. won't get a grant or anything, but I got it through a scholarship. So it paid half, but the other half, it equaled to the same as what it would up here. Because yeah, obviously London is super expensive. So I really, really struggled with that aspect.
So I got the scholarship for Alra, and that's the only reason I could go. But it was better at Alra. I still yeah. had to subsidise like my living. But
is that London?
All my fees. Alra North.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's gone now, unfortunately. Oh. But I was very lucky that I got that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to do it either. And that subsidised all my fees. But it's the difference. I only applied to a Northern drama school because of that reason. So I couldn't go down to London and live. There was no way.
I know.
Even if your fees are paid for, the living expenses, and it's 9 till 6, isn't it, every day? So
it's so like, obviously I looked into all that and I thought, oh my God, I'm going to have to work like 3 jobs to afford this. And I wouldn't have time to do like 3 jobs on top of drama school. It just wasn't even an option.
But you're doing it anyway.
I'm doing it now, yeah. Indie film is getting up there, innit? It's getting up there.
Yeah.
Like, and it's so, it definitely just like you say, the escapism and just being someone else instead of yourself 24/7, it's just surreal. And I just love it. That's what I want to do full time.
Don't yeah, but even like, it's funny, isn't it? Because even the people who we believe have made it, do they do it full time or do they have like other things going on as well and other investments? But the reality that it's we create this ideology of what being an actor is, and I think a lot of us are kind of disillusioned with that.
Yeah.
We need to accept the industry for what it is.
Exactly.
And our part in it at that time while still having like a goal that's more realistic.
Yeah.
Doesn't set limitations.
Yeah.
You know, right?
Literally. Yeah. Sometimes you can aim too high. Sometimes you just need to lower it down a little bit. It's all about like, I try aim to the highest point, and then sometimes I'm like, reel it in, Danny, reel it in.
But I don't think anyone, I mean, maybe your big stars, but they're becoming less and less now, aren't they?
Yeah, well, it's a bit corrupt.
Your Brad Pitts and your Brad Pitts. You know, it doesn't feel like, in some ways that's amazing that it's opening to so many different people, but in other ways it's kind of like, oh, that. What we've got brought up with these huge Hollywood stars, that kind of seems to be dwindling, but things change and we have to roll with that.
The industry's always changing, isn't it? Like, there's just always something different going on, and it's just like,
and that's another reason why I love it. So getting back to like why I wanted to do it, it's the same thing as you. Love the varied lifestyle. Adopting characters. I'm a mindset coach as well, so now the psychology part of the character, oh, I bloody love that.
Yeah.
Like getting into the nooks and crannies and of the character and why they behave the way that they do. Being the one to kind of bring that about.
Mm-hmm.
And tell stories that matter and that
evolve
change and help people. Help people, whether it's just for entertainment or for knowledge or for further understanding, whatever it is, just help people and
I think
it's
great,
isn't it?
Yeah,
creativity,
definitely.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
Love it
just cures you, I think, as well. Like, because obviously I did suffer from really bad depression. I do still suffer from really bad anxiety. Like, that is just something I think I'm going to have to deal with for a long time. But doing acting and stuff like that, it just really helps that. And it's like so interesting, like how you think something like that could actually help you, like playing somebody that's quite damaged or understanding what's in their brain and then putting your life experiences into that character. And I just think it's so, people that don't act don't understand that part of it. But when you do start looking into things like that, it can actually cure you, even though you're playing someone that's been in that situation that you have or has felt that same way.
Yeah.
And it's just so interesting. What parts of your characteristics that, like, do you believe resonate with Jess?
So many. I feel like she's a protector.
Mm-hmm.
She feels responsible for people. She's bolshy. She's not scared to say what she thinks and how she feels.
Yeah.
She's always doing it for the good of others, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love Jess.
Which may not always be received as well as what she'd hoped. It's something I've had to work on.
Well,
sometimes it can be sometimes I think you can be... So instead of... I'm one of those people that will tell people what they need to hear.
Yeah.
If I think it's going to help them.
Yeah.
And it might not be what they want to hear at that time.
I feel like Jess is like that at times.
And she's very much like that. Because otherwise I feel responsible for not telling them something that I think that could help them and help their future in that moment. Even if, and that's probably why I'm a coach, a good coach, because I believe I'm a good coach, hopefully.
You definitely are.
My clients think that.
Yeah. I'm the greatest coach.
Because you have to tell people, or you have to challenge people, you have to challenge people in a way where it changes their course of action. Mm-hmm. And I think Jess does that. I think she's always trying to support people that she loves, and she goes and gets what she wants, and she's got that rocket up her ass.
Yeah.
She's fueled. Mm-hmm. She's passionate. She's energetic. She's driven. And she sometimes probably comes across as really annoying.
I love Jess's character.
Potentially, that's a bit of me.
I absolutely love it when I listen to it back and I'm like, oh my God, Michaela's back. Michaela's on. You know?
This is the thing, isn't it? So Cal wrote it for me. So he knows me so well. We've been friends for like a decade. So obviously there's going to be so many similarities.
I love it. No, she's what perfect. About you? Emily is just so interesting. I feel like now it's season two, she's becoming a bit more stronger. And I think this kind of does resonate with me. Because back, like we were talking about 15 years ago, that's how old I am now. I'm 29 now. 15 years ago when I was 14.
You still looked.
I didn't age since then.
You've not aged. You've not aged, has she?
No, neither of you. We both look so young. But no, back then, I feel like I was quite similar, like vulnerable, naive, kind of like a bit of a shell. And I feel like in season one, especially in the first like few episodes, she kind of is... like that. And I think it kind of stems back to obviously her relationship with Jason and things that happened between them, and I feel like that kind of links to me. I'm like replaying my life.
Is it cathartic?
Apart from the wolf, I'm not a wolf.
Yeah. She is.
I mean, my arms need shaving, but quite hairy, but but no, she is. She is.
I love
very...
that. How are you similar to your character? I am also hairy.
I'm also very hairy. I...
Stop.
Blame my mum. Us shepherds, we've got a lot of hair in us.
That's nice. Not just that. Lovely and thick.
Oh, thank you.
That is, yeah.
I grew it myself. No, she. Now in season two, she's having to come to terms with it. It's not like a thing that, you know, like. She knows she has to deal with this. And I feel like it's kind of similar to life decisions that I've been through, where you kind of think, oh, this is actually the harsh reality. This is something that I really need to get used to, or I really need to face head on. And whether it's people, situations, just general look, like in general, like that type of thing, it does kind of link with Emily and me. But yeah, she is, half the time she's just like, what the is going on? Do you know what I mean? Like she's
confused.
Yeah, she's very confused. And like now she's got people in the series that are actually guiding her, or like certain characters are actually wanting to help her. She doesn't feel as alone, and I feel like it kind of shows in the performance aspect of that. And she kind of does, I feel like she's definitely grown, and I like that, because I feel like I can relate. You know, I've been there. I've done that. I've worn the t-shirt. But yeah. No, she's, I'd say I'm a bit more crazy than Emily, though. I think there's something not quite right up here sometimes.
She's just big.
I'm too just eccentric. It is, isn't it?
We're all a bit bonkers.
Probably ADHD. I don't know at this point. Maybe, I don't know. But yeah, I think she's a bit more reserved than me. So I think that is the difference. But yeah, no, I do like Emily. Emily and Jess are both growing, and that's you do see that from season one. So I'm excited to see where it goes.
Me too. So if you had to describe a typical day of recording for Tales, what would that look like?
It would be a lot of screaming, a lot of sweating, a lot of growling, a lot of transformation. So I'm just kidding. That is actually part of it. That is part of it. Yesterday I was like, oh, man, it's so sweaty in here, and it was just me. But yeah, no, I do think, well, usually it's kind of like quite chilled out and we warm into it. We go over it a few times, get the feel for it, do the right, you know, like obviously perform it correctly and doing different versions just to see how it would work. But yeah, it is a lot. Because obviously voiceover work, this is the first thing I've ever done that's voiceover.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've never done any sort of like anime or voiceover, anything like that. I've never done it. So this is the first time. And usually I'm so used to just being on camera. So obviously camera work is very different because you've got to kind of reel it in. Whereas voiceover, I think you have to do more because they've lost one of the senses. They can't see it. So they're having to listen to it and it's got to really grasp them. And I think for me, that is something that takes a while for me to get into because I'm like, right, okay, we're doing voiceover work now. I'm not on camera. Yeah. Well, I am. If they're recording it, I'm like, oh, no, just watching me transform.
And isn't it amazing to watch people who are doing voiceovers? I love watching it.
It's so good.
You do get so into your body, don't you?
Yeah, you naturally do that as well. And I feel like with me, I do actually perform it. And then it shows when you listen to it, you're like, oh, shit, yeah, I remember when I was performing that pretty much. So, yeah, no, I absolutely love it. I think it's so relaxed as well. And, like, we still get the work done like that. It's just a really nice environment, nice vibe. And we work really hard. And I think it is showing. So what about you? What do you think? Same thing?
Pretty much. I'm mirroring that. It's it's exhausting. It's amazing. I love doing voiceovers. Mm-hmm. I love doing voice work. And I have been doing it for quite a while. You're dripping with sweat. You're right that you are literally soaked. I think I've done changes, clothes changes. Ooh. I've been like, Cal, I need to go and change my clothes. And he's just like, all right. But what's really nice is the autonomy that I've had over the character. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes you go into a voiceover studio and the director is very set with what they want. Whereas I think there's been a lot of flexibility for you kind of put your own stamp on it, which has been really, really lovely. But yeah, the typical day would be Carl gets everything set up. I get the coffees. or he gets the coffees. And then we rehearse it or we go straight in, depending on time. And then we do a couple of takes. If there's something different that he wants, he'll direct me in a different way.
Yeah.
We do that. And then I wait until I see the finished product and I'm like, whoa, you created that. That's amazing.
Yeah, the thing I like about Carl as well, like working with him, is that he actually does give you the flexibility. So like you can do it different ways and he'll want to see a range of different ways. So you're not just doing it like a set on, like you say, some directors want it a particular way. And I have worked on film sets and stuff where it's been like that. But sometimes an actor, when they're reading a script, they can interpret that various ways, depending on the mood setting and how it is and like what the other character's reacting like and stuff like that.
And this is the thing, you don't have the other character, do you? No. So this is how doing something like this differs from being on set.
Yeah.
Is you aren't working with anyone. Cal's heard the characters do their bits and he's formulating this kind of idea in his head of how it's sounding and you've got to respond to that effectively.
Yeah.
And with, I suppose, integrity, otherwise it's not going to feel real and authentic.
Yeah.
So that is very, very different. And that's why actually listening to how you deliver some of your lines helps me. I'm like, okay, I can kind of hear your voice now and how you would say those lines. And know, and that, this is why when I met you, I was like, I feel like I already know you because we've heard each other speak. So when I'm doing my lines and I see your character, I'm kind of like, okay, this is how she would say that. Maybe this is what it would be like, and I think that helps as well.
Oh yeah, it definitely does. It's so weird when you actually listen to it back and you're like, it actually sounds like we're in a room having a conversation. It sounds so real that like you're like, this was like, I don't know, like a month ago, and there was no one in there. It's so weird, isn't it? Like
when one.
I'm pretty sure people actually think we've all met and worked together in like a studio, but that's not how we've done it. And
that's the goal.
That is the goal. That's what we're aiming for.
One day.
Yeah, one
day. We're all in the studio.
Imagine how like different it would be.
Right?
It would be so cool. But yeah, no, I love working with like raw pictures on this because I think it's got like a lot of, I think already for like something so early on, it's still got quite a lot of people invested in it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important. When you're a performer, you want an audience, and this is what we're aiming for. And I think it is getting that. And I get some, like, I get like loads of random followers, and I'm like, oh, the fans of Tales from Davistown. I feel like so happy about that.
That's
it's like an accomplishment, you know. So, but yeah, it's just really nice. And I love working on it, and it's just great fun, isn't it? So,
yes.
It is. So what would you say is some of the most challenging but rewarding moments of working on Tales from Davistown?
The challenging, I suppose what comes to mind is we did one episode where I was quite poorly. And like what we've just said, it's physically very demanding.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel very lucky that I was working with someone who was affording me that time to take a break, to sit down, and that's what we did. I just took breaks if I needed it.
Mm-hmm.
But I also pride myself on my ability to deliver fast and to be quick and to be honest. Yeah. It can feel quite frustrating when your voice isn't working or cooperating with you. Like, I've got a little bit of a husk at the minute. My voice is a little bit husky anyway, but you have to be aware of that when you're doing voiceovers, that if you have a little bit of a cold or you've got something wrong and it's affecting your airways, or you've got a cat allergy, for example, something like that, it's going to affect the delivery.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be quite challenging, especially when you're doing screaming, when you're doing panting and all those physical things
that
require a lot of energy that you just don't have when you're poorly. And because we're doing this in a way that we can, in terms of, you know, like, it's amazing that we're getting paid to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, that's difficult from Cal as a business owner himself. Like, so when he arrives, we have to be on it and perform for him as well. Because it matters. It's not like he's got like loads of investors that are paying for this. He's doing it all off of his own back. So I guess sometimes I think that's a challenging moment where you feel the kind of that responsibility to show up and deliver and give your best work when you're not feeling as strong as you possibly can. And it's not just with this, it's with acting in general, which I'm sure you've experienced when you've rocked up to set and you can't, it's not like a normal job, you can't just ring in sick. It's like when it's
you've
booked
got
in
to be there.
It's booked in. Obviously, if I was there, really like, poorly, he'd understand. But like, I guess that has probably been challenging, being a little bit under the weather and having to pant and scream and do all these really exhausting things and then, you know, feel like, well, I could have probably done a little bit better. I guess that's what you go away feeling, but at the same time, you can only do what you can do.
You can,
so you have to put those thoughts to bed. So I would say that's the challenging. In terms of the character and things like that, I've not found that challenging. I think she is very similar to me. I love the script. I think it's written really well.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of what I found, like, I suppose, really amazing and successful, is it all coming to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hearing the final thing, seeing the artwork, meeting the rest of the cast.
Yeah.
That is the moment where you're like, whoa, what we're creating here is huge. And it's funny because you do the recording and then you don't get the impact of that until months later sometimes, but then when you do, it's like, wow, brilliant. Yeah. And also, it's been wonderful as well, like, Cal's brought in some people who I do acting workshops, and he's brought people in from that. He's brought in some of my friends who are amazing and talented as well. So he's built like quite a nice little community of people, and I think that is also something that we can all be really proud of.
Oh,
what about you?
Oh, that is so, it literally the similar, what you just said is mirroring what I was going to say. Same brain.
100%.
So, like, there has been, like, days where I've come on set, like, in the studio and stuff, like, and I have felt like it's usually winter time. I've got quite a lower immune system. So when it hits, like, November, December, January, I'm always ill. Mm. So I'll come and I'll just be like, yeah, I'm good. And I'm not good. I'm just like so weak,
it's
tired.
Tough.
Yeah, but I've done that on film sets and I'll go and I just like overthink everything. I'm like, what if this looks complete? Because if it's like a scene that's carried over and it's like I've had to shoot the same scene in two different days, I'm like, what if it shows in that scene that I'm acting or I sound different to how I did before? And I sometimes worry about that with like this as well. I'm like, oh, what if my voice sounds different? Or what if it's like more like husky or like usually it's like quite clear. Like it's just my accent's very thick.
So, no.
No one would be able to tell them from Yorkshire. Sorry. But yeah, no, it's the same thing. Like I love doing this, so I don't care if I get more ill from it, because I'm just like, I don't care, like, I've got a crappy immune system anyway, it's not going to get better from here. So I'll come in, give it my all, and then I'll just take a day rest the next day. Or I'll go to work like a psychopath and work 12 hours, but then I'll come home and then rest, you know? Like, I try and make room to improve and stuff like that. But yeah, like you say, Cal is very accommodating. He's very, very sweet. He helps you out. You know, he says, you know, just take breaks, da, da, da. Like, do you want coffee? Do you want any food? I've got you some food, blah, blah, blah. Like, he really does look after you. So your energy levels are, like, still up here, despite feeling down here, you know? Like, so you do have that kind of care on set, which I think, is, like, obviously it's very, very important. And, yeah, he's just really, really awesome. I love it.
And that's the thing, isn't it? In our line of work, you don't have time for the excuses. It's like you just can't leave them at the door. People will be understanding, but if you're showing up, it's a case of, okay, show up, get the job done. Yeah, we'll be understanding, but don't just sit and whine and mope around. Yeah. Just deliver and show up. And some people don't realise that. I think they see this profession as like an easy way, not an easy way, but like they might see it as, it was my family have probably thought in the past that it's not that difficult and it's not that hard.
Oh,
it
boy.
Might like not compared to the 9 to 5 when actually it's like there's not many professions where you're expected to show up regardless to what you're going through. Like I remember I did some filming on the day that my friend died, like, because if I backed out on that day, then the film would go to pot. It was bigger than me, the film.
Yeah.
So you know, we have to make a lot of sacrifices,
but
now I have that film and it reminds me of her. So
it's like a memory.
Exactly. So there's so much that we gain from it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Who are your favourite characters?
So originally, this is a really, really fun question. Don't look at me like that.
No, go on.
Please say me. So originally, I like characters that are like completely different to like psycho smile.
Was it? Really? Oh god.
You're like, please say me. I'm not, all for it. No, don't do that. You don't have to do that. Right, we will answer this question, I promise. We're getting there. But for me, I like characters that are quite different to what I've seen before. So for me, originally, it was Mei Ling. So I thought, fox spirit, what is this? Google is my friend. So I was Googling about it. It's actually so interesting. And then obviously her character is different to other characters seen in like supernatural shows. So I kind of thought, oh, there's that like difference there between our show and their show. Mm. And I quite like that. But now it is so difficult now because everyone is so important. Do you know, like, I can't describe it. Like, everyone has their own thing that they're bringing to the show. And I think for me, it's so difficult now. I can't just say Mei Ling anymore. It's going to have to be Jess. It's going to have to be, like, other people in the show. Like, Sarah, is it Serafina? I never say her name right. Serafina?
I mean, you have to ask how.
Serafina.
I don't know.
We're
going to
go with Serafina.
Do it. I'm a teacher.
Yeah.
Teachers don't know how to pronounce names.
Apparently neither do I, and I'm not a teacher.
I would agree, though, with Mei Ling.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's something about that character that I really like. I think as well because I've had a lot of altercations with her.
Yeah.
So they've always been the fun ones to shoot.
Yeah.
So I think when there's this thing, isn't there? Like, so you shoot it and you remember doing it, and then when you hear it, you're like, oh! And then it gives you good memories of playing that character. The best thing is, as well, is Cal does all the other voices.
I know, it makes me laugh so much because I'm like, he's actually really good.
You know, he is.
And I'm
like, he does acting, isn't it?
I'm like, I'm like, ooh.
Which helps because he gives you the intention before. Whereas I think if you're working with a director who hasn't done that before, it can be quite difficult
to just say the lines without
anything coming at you
mm-hmm.
Or just like a line coming at you that's just very beigelish said.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like when you're doing a self-tape, I suppose, isn't it? But I agree with you. She's an interesting character.
She's really interesting.
She's been fun to play against.
Oh, yeah.
Even though I've not actually been in the room with her.
I know, it's so weird. I'm like listening to it, I'm like, huh. But then when Carl says her lines, like we've just shot like the first two episodes of season two.
Ooh.
And
spoilers.
But I don't know what is wrong with me. Why am I like this? But he actually reads it in her voice as well. Like he does actually act it out, and it really helps.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, yeah, okay.
I kind of want to hear. We should do this after the show. We should ask Cal to do his interpretations of all the characters and get into film what he does.
I just
when he
need
does it with
this.
Us.
I need this.
I think that we need that in our lives.
Oh, imagine like playing another character for one episode, like doing a different character.
I don't think we could now.
No, we couldn't. We couldn't. I'm going all Buffy in my head.
I feel like
yeah, I'd be traiting yeah. on Emily. Traiting? Is that a word? It is now. Yeah, it is now.
we're
rolling with that. So does music play like a role in your creative practice?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah. I am heavily influenced by music. So if I am playing an emotional scene or if I'm wanting to play an upbeat character and I may not be feeling upbeat, I'm mostly upbeat to be fair. But that's a really bad example. But specifically with like sadder scenes, I'll use music to help me get into that state. I find that music puts you in a state. It can definitely for example, some music will help me sleep. I use music for meditation. I use music for emotional scenes. And if I'm writing, I use classical music.
Oh wow,
I love classical music.
Oh really?
Yeah, I don't know why. I feel like it just gets my head going. And music can actually also be very debilitating. So if someone is playing really upbeat tunes and I need to play a sad character, I'll struggle with that. I'll need distance myself from that. If I'm in a cafe and I'm trying to write something or be creative and the music isn't aligned with the feel of that, then I can't work in that cafe.
No, I get where you're coming from.
Right,
you're
the same.
Oh, yeah, yeah, like, I listen to music all the time. Like, usually, if I'm not working on anything in particular, I do tend to just stick to one genre, because I'm a metalhead.
Oh, yeah.
I am a metalhead, yeah. I go to, like, these big festivals where they play, like, rock music, pop punk, heavy metal, death metal.
So if anyone is watching from those festivals, send her a free ticket.
Please. That would be amazing, thank you, because I love it.
Yeah.
But like you say, I do try to stick to what I need to stick to, if that makes sense. Like, so if I'm playing, for example, for a showreel scene that I did like earlier in the year, I played like a drug addict, kind of drunk alcoholic. I'd listen to kind of more deadbeat music, like kind of sad, more down, just emotional. Because I feel like she's obviously, you've got to listen to what caters for that character. And I think that does help. And I do agree, music is everything. Like, when I'm playing a character that's like similar to me in terms of energy and stuff, like, I would listen to more like, I'm walking on sunshine. That is what I'd have to, because it really helps get you in the mood and it makes you kind of like think, yeah, I've got that energy now. Because you need to match the energy of the character and how that character's feeling in that scene. And even certain scenes, like, if the character is quite upbeat, but she's going through something horrible in the film or whatever, or she's got quite an emotional scene in that film, I'd still listen to the more down music, the more, just so I can get that feel. So, yeah, I'm the same as you.
I'll tell you what I've not done, which has made me think would be a really useful tool. And that's to think about what music your character in this would listen to. Like, what music do you think Emily would listen to?
I think Emily would like indie.
Do you?
Yeah.
I was thinking she should be listening to like hopeless romantic songs.
Like,
Jess would be like rap.
Yeah, oh yeah. Hip hop. Yeah. Eminem. Dr. Dre. 50 Cent. Oh, stop.
Too much. Oh my.
But no, I feel like she would, because with her doing photography and stuff and with her being in like West Yorkshire, I feel like she would kind of, she's got like that kind of casual kind of style, but I feel like she would listen to, I don't know why, but I kind of pictured this for when she, there was the episode where she's like describing going onto the Mars and then taking a picture of the moon and stuff like that. I just listened to her, I don't know, I pictured her listening to like Champagne Supernova by Oasis on the way. Yeah. It was actually in my head, but I never said that out loud because my brain does weird things. So I was like, I feel like she'd be listening to that. Or Live Forever. Live Forever by Oasis. I feel like she probably likes more indie stuff like Stereophonics and stuff like that, which is not my vibe. Opposite of me. I don't mind indie music, but I feel like, yeah, when you read a character, it's weird how your brain does that. I will go to like, oh, I'll think of their interests, like, oh, they'll like this, or they like that, or they do this differently to me, but they do this similar to me, and I'm like, music taste, yeah, I think she'd probably be like me, a metalhead or something, do you know, like, I have played characters like that, it's really weird, and yeah, it's weird how you tune in with that. But yeah, definitely think Jess would like rap music. Nicki Minaj.
Potentially.
Potentially. You just don't know.
So, what are you looking forward to the most for season two?
So this is interesting, because I don't know, like, I feel like season one in most, like, audio shows or, like, TV shows, it kind of sets a mood.
Sets the tone.
Yeah, yeah, it sets the tone of what the characters are and who they are and how they link and stuff like that. Season two is where it gets the drama. So I think I'm looking forward to seeing where it's going to go. Because there's all these interesting characters that are being introduced as well, and I'm like, this could, you know, this
where's
could
the conflict?
Yeah, yeah, it's gonna go somewhere.
Because it's gonna
build up, and I can already sense it when obviously we read the scripts and stuff. I'm like, oh, that's ended on a cliffhanger.
I was about to say like, what's the cliffhanger of season two gonna be?
That's what I want to know.
That's
but obviously
what I'm
we don't know yet.
To. We don't know. He doesn't tell us anything.
No,
he doesn't trust us.
He doesn't. Not us two, anyway.
Who can blame him?
With a cast like this. No, I am really looking forward to seeing where it kind of develops and goes in that sense, because I do think this is going to be the season for that. I really, really do. What about you?
Same. Yeah. I guess it's always wondering what's going to happen whenever you're reading the script. You're kind of like, oh, where is this going? And what journey is my character? I'm kind of looking forward to seeing Jess's journey develop a little bit more. And seeing her a bit more vulnerable.
Yeah.
Maybe a bit more scared.
How Emily was.
Yeah.
She because, can relate. Yeah.
Yeah. It would be interesting to see emotionally what her journey is in season two.
Yeah.
And how she transforms.
Mm-hmm.
That, I'm excited. That's always the exciting thing for me as an actor, though. Working through those changes, those character changes and those character developments. You don't always, depending on the project, get an amazing character shift, but I think with Tales we're always shifting our characters, we're always on the move, aren't they?
And there's always something new happening as well, like something when you read the script you're like, oh, I didn't expect that to happen. And I feel like that could emotionally impact your character, and I feel like you say, like, it is just going to shift all the way through, and it's probably going to shift even more now we're at the drama stage. I honestly do believe something.
I also kind of want to see what happens in terms of the whole project itself.
Yeah.
Like,
me too. How would the show end?
Yeah, but like, where it can go, the scope.
Yeah,
like, can it get made into an actual series? Like, what are the possibilities for the actual show? I find that very exciting as well.
Yeah.
You should just never know with these things, do you?
No.
And it just takes one opportunity.
It really does. And
one opportunity.
One opportunity.
To open things up. So you just don't know, do you? And it's always really exciting to see the following and to see people engaged and to see people like really celebrating the success.
I love that.
Yeah.
I think it is going to do something big. I just got feeling. So if you could be any supernatural being of your choice, what would you choose?
In real life or in, as in act something? Because they would be different.
Oh, really? Well, both.
Yeah.
What about
in
real life?
In real life, I'd be a ghost or an angel.
Oh, wow.
I'd be an angel.
That's really cute. cute.
That's what I would be. Or a someone who can see the future. Would I be that? That could come with a lot of baggage. But an angel, maybe if an angel could heal, I would be, maybe be an angel. I feel like that would be an amazing real life, but potentially quite boring as an actor.
Yeah. I don't know if there's any shows about fallen angels. Lucifer?
So I'm not bothered about doing that.
No.
Well, I would if the opportunity came. But I don't think that would be as exciting to act. But to act, I've always wanted to be a vampire.
Oh my gosh. Always.
I have always wanted to be a vampire. I'd love to be a vampire. Right?
Me too.
I think that would be so much fun. And I suppose I'm going to have to go for a vampire. It would just be so cool, wouldn't it? I know that's a bit cliche, isn't it? It's a bit boring.
I don't think it is. I think it's...
someone who can see into the future. I quite like...
like telepathic? Or like kind of psychic?
Psychic.
Yeah.
So something like that, like someone who can read the future.
Ooh. That's interesting.
One or the other. The I wouldn't want to be a vampire in real life, obviously, because then I'd have to brutally kill people and suck their blood. the see the future, the Mystic Meg, so to speak, that I think would come with a lot of baggage in real life, so that is why I wouldn't want to do that in real life. What about you?
That is so, do you know, this is such an, nobody's ever asked me this before, like, in real life,
all the best questions.
Literally, to act vampire, I have never played a vampire before, but I've done photo shoots, because I do modelling as well. And I was just covered in blood, and I just loved it. I know it sounds a bit psychotic, but, like, I love, like, playing characters that are so different. And, yeah, obviously, the vampire, I love it. I find, because obviously I watch, like,
I've just got another one, which you'll probably love too. Mermaids. I've always wanted to be a mermaid. Little mermaid.
I feel like in real life, that's what I would want to be.
Right.
So that is literally what I would want to be.
We should do a mermaid film.
We should do
a
mermaid film.
Evil mermaid film.
Like Siren.
Yes. But better. Not better. There's nothing wrong with it. Better.
There's always better.
There's always better, right?
There's always better.
Just like, yeah.
That is actually, I could not think for like, what would I want to be in real life? Because that is such a, it could be anything. There's so many things that we probably don't even know.
Would you want to be an evil gremlin?
No.
Why?
I don't know. I don't want to be evil.
Do you not? No.
I love the ocean, so I'd probably, in real life, I'd say mermaid.
The only problem with that, logistically, filming in the ocean, it's just going to be cold, man.
It is, isn't it?
It's going to be cold. So,
and you'd have to... humidity. Yeah. No, I'm joking. I would freeze. No, it would be like...
Would you get a stunt double? Or would you do it all yourself?
I'd probably get a stunt double.
Yeah, I would. I do swim it myself. But yeah, I wear contact lenses though, you can't get them wet.
No!
Logistically.
It would suck so
I'd be alright out of the water.
I'd be like, can I just have my head up, please?
Under the water, I'm blind. I actually did some underwater scenes in a film that I wrote, and I was completely blind the whole time that we shot it. I can't see anything.
Yeah, literally. I can't get, well, to be fair, I'd suck as a mermaid. I'd do it in like a, probably... No, probably would. I don't know, actually. Oh, I don't know.
So many possibilities.
Yeah, there is. I feel like if I could, like, so I definitely love vampires and mermaids. They're, like, my favourite too. The guardian angel thing, the angel, like, not guardian angel, but, like, fallen angel. Jill, like, that would be pretty cool. Fallen angel in, like,
we'll do
a film.
It all.
I want to do
just
it all.
Just not gremlins.
Yeah, they suck, right? I feel like they'd suck.
I mean, it's
goblins.
Quite cool.
No, I'm good, thanks. I'm not into that.
Lots of prosthetics.
Too much, I think it's too much sometimes.
Too much.
Yeah, but yeah, the others are fine. They're fine.
Fabulous. So what would be your favourite parts? If it was going to be made, hopefully it will, into a live action, what gets you excited about that?
Oh, the transformation, for sure.
Yeah.
I am so interested in how they do this. I watched, me and Carl were actually kind of researching for Emily's character a little bit. And we looked up like werewolf transformations, and the two that kind of spoke to me a little bit were the Howling, the first transformation scene, and the Rick Wolf in London. That one was the top tier werewolf trans. I just think it would be so mentally and physically exhausting, but it would be so rewarding. And I think when you watch it, it would be so cool. And obviously, to be able to interact with the actors we're working with already on the audio series, I think it would be so nice to just be on set together, guys, for once.
Wouldn't it?
And, like, just, like, physically interact with each other instead of just, like, vocally.
I think it'd be like so amazing as a challenge as well.
It's so, like, challenging.
Because I don't think people realise how challenging doing fantasy and horror and those kind of things are, because a lot of what you're seeing isn't there. You've got to utilise your imagination.
CGI.
Yeah, there's a lot of CGI, and it'd be interesting to see what practical effects would be used and what would be put in later, and just that whole process
of what they do with the prosthetics and, like, CGI and stuff like that. I think it would be so interesting to just live through that.
Have you ever worked on a piece similar to that, or would that be your first kind of...
Prosthetics, probably first. First, like, really decent one, I'd say. I haven't really worked on anything with prosthetics, to be honest. It's just a lot of, like fake blood and stuff. So, because I'm always getting killed in things, you see. Just kidding. Well, in a few things I've done, I do, like, get... I have been murdered. So, usually...
Stop.
I know. Sure. Spoiler for any of my previous work. But no, it's just usually just quite a lot of fake blood, but the prosthetic side I've never done, so it would be really, really interesting to see that. And see how we all, like, gel as well, like, on set together. I think it would be a masterpiece, to be honest.
That'd be amazing.
I honestly think it would be. It'd be so challenging, but so fun. So what about you? What are you looking forward to if there is live action?
I suppose it would, the scope of it.
Yeah.
I feel like it's got the potential to be huge.
Yeah.
And I don't think I would have ever done anything that's quite so out there in terms of CGI, in terms of prosthetics, in terms of all this fantasy coming together with everyone. It would be so, and in a series as well, it would just be very explosive.
It would be
very exciting.
I think it'd do so well though.
And like what you said, the community, everyone working with each other as well, just seeing it brought to
life.
A visual.
Yeah, visual light.
Yeah.
It'd be so cool.
Because all we've heard, and everyone creates their own audio. Yeah. Everyone creates their own personal video to match the audio, and it would be really nice to see a shared vision of what it would look like.
Yeah, absolutely.
In a series.
I think it would be incredible to experience that. I do feel like it would just, I think it'd blow up. But obviously, like, it's so expensive to make an episode. Like, if you actually look up on, like, supernatural or horror things, they do spend so much money on just one episode. So it's incredible how much money goes into it. But, like, I think as well, it'd just be so fun to just work as a whole team. Like, it's just so nice. It's just so, like, zen.
I guess we don't always think about the cost of something like this. But, I mean, would you want to do it? Would you want it to be made if we sacrifice the standard that we have?
No.
No.
This is the thing. Like, I don't... Obviously, the more that you work on these types of things, the more you actually gain a lot of knowledge about it behind the scenes and the prosthetic work and how much money it's going to cost and stuff. And when you actually Google or look into the depths of, like, let's say American Werewolf in London, the 7-minute sequence of the werewolf transformation, I think it was 1980 or 1981, that was, like, how many years ago was that? Like, nearly 40? Over 40. So 43 years ago, that alone costed 100,000 just for that scene. Like,
and that's back then.
Yeah. So, like, it's
of money we need now.
It's
not unattainable.
I don't think it was just for that scene, but still, that's still a lot of money, you know, like, and per episode, if you were going to repeatedly kind of do certain scenes where a character would have to transform or you'd need prosthetic work, it would build up.
I guess that's where creating a following and making sure that we've got an audience first really matters.
I think it does. And it's so nice that people are so invested in it. You know, like, it's already so nice that it's reached that now already. But yeah, for a live action, it's going to need a lot more. You know, it's going to cost a lot of money for it to be, like, a high standard. And yeah, it's, when you actually look into it, it's so much money. You don't think it though. When you're watching it, you think, Oh, wow. You don't even think about the money aspect of what's gone into that film or what's gone into that episode or what's gone into that scene. Like, there's just so much to it. So many layers that when you actually look into it and delve into that aspect of, the like, your career and, like, different things that you're doing, it does add up to a lot of money. And you think, wow. Damn.
How are we going to do that?
So what advice would you give to, like, young actors and young performers that are trying to break into the acting industry, especially now in 2024 when things are a lot more difficult? And
yeah, the industry is certainly changing and transforming. It's not always a bad thing, but at the minute it feels, I think for a lot of actors, that things are stagnating. Mm-hmm. A lot of actors are kind of losing agents. Agencies have been closing down. It's a challenging time as we transform into more online, digital media focused productions. You know, unfortunately, like, Doctors has died. That sounds awful, doesn't it? But, you know, we've lost Doctors. Hollyoaks is down to three days. Terrestrial TV is on the decline. But we've got the rise of Netflix. We've got the rise of Amazon Prime. We've got the rise of all these amazing things as well. Cinemas as well are closing. So we are in this very transitional period, but it's not all doom and gloom. My advice would be to... it's okay to have another job that you love on the side of acting that gives you that financial security that you want and you desire. I think a lot of actors are taught that you should never have a plan B. And it's not about having a plan B. It's having about a occupation that allows you to sustain yourself.
Yeah, so absolutely.
For me, the best thing I ever did was become a coach. I become an acting coach and a mindset coach because that funds my career. I can do what I love because of that. It doesn't take it away. And it's flexible as well. So some people, for me, that meant a lot. Security is one of my high values. Mm-hmm. But so is freedom. And obviously they sometimes pull away from each other. Mm-hmm. So for some people, that I think is what job can you do alongside of acting that makes you feel like you're progressing when things are stagnating here? That also gives you the things that you want, whether that's financial security, whether that's holidays, whether that's a mortgage, whatever that looks like for you. That's one piece of advice. Another piece of advice is to buy my book, which has been sat on my lap. I wasn't going to pitch it, but The Opportunity Rules, The Actor's Guide to Success. This is a half technique and half mindset book. And the reason I wrote it was because I wanted a book when I was in my career that taught me how to break down a script, because you've got to do the work. You don't necessarily need to go to drama school. I don't think that you need to go to drama school anymore.
I don't think
but
so.
You need to learn.
Yeah.
You need to learn the craft of acting, and you need to be passionate about being the best actor that you can be, and to stay on that journey of learning and growth. The moment you watch something and you go, that was perfect, that's the moment you've lost your passion to grow, and then your ambition dies with that.
Yeah.
So get your craft good, get your techniques on point, and work on your mindset as well. It is a tough industry.
Oh,
and if you crave validation and that's the thing that gets you going, you're going to feel miserable because there are a lot of no's, there are a lot of silences, there is a lot of rejection. And to survive this industry, it means that we have to be able to sustain it.
Yeah.
We have to be able to go, it might happen next year, it might happen in 50 years. If you really love being an actor, then you have got to find a way to last longer than everyone else. And that will be your biggest asset. And the way that you do that is by making sure that your self-image isn't affected when you get a no or you're rejected. That your self-esteem isn't affected when those things happen.
Mm-hmm.
That you stay motivated, that you remember your why it's important to you, what you're trying to achieve. So work on both, work on your technique, work on your mindset, and get a community of people who you love, who are doing the same, that you've got each other's backs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And get the book.
I get the book. Please buy it.
So that would be my advice. What would be yours?
Oh, you've hit the nail on the head again. So I do modeling, acting, and I work full-time as well. The reason I work full-time is because if I didn't, I would be homeless. So I would have to find stability that way. The full-time job I do have, I have 4 days off in a row. 4 days in, 4 days off. The 4 days off is fantastic. That's where I do all my filming. And they're very, very good at letting me have time off. So I do agree that you definitely need that stability, financial stability, in order to survive in the industry. But yeah, I do modelling as well. So I've technically got 3 jobs because I'm a psychopath like that. But this is how I roll. And I like to be busy. I like to be doing stuff.
Fingers in pies, though. That's such a good point. Like, I think a lot of successful actors, they're very good at doing different things.
Oh, yeah.
And that's okay. It's okay to have, like, a body of things that you do to generate that income.
Absolutely.
And it's amazing that you've been able to conduct yourself to do that.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, it is so important to just keep busy. Keep working with new people. Don't wait for your agent to get you a job. Find your own job. Get your own work. Keep working is my advice, because at the end of the day, once you stop, that's when you stall and you think, oh, there's something wrong with me. That's when the doubts come in. That's when you start feeling like that self-deprivation and you start feeling a little bit depressed and you start getting doubts and you're thinking, why am I even bothering? There's been plenty of actors that have hit that point. And I just think, even if the work's quiet in the acting industry, do other things. Write a script. Like, read. Read the book, guys. Read the book. I haven't bought it yet. I'm rubbish.
Don't say that.
It's so good, though. I've read bits and I'm like, I like it. I like it. There's a lot in this book. There's a lot in this book.
Amazing.
I love that.
The director has bought it.
I know. He pre-ordered it. I want a physical copy, though. Because I have Kindle and I have physical books, but I want a physical book of acting. Just because I can.
It feels so nice as well.
It does.
I paid premium.
Honestly.
5 years it took me. 5 years. There was no way I was skimping on a front cover. No, absolutely not. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Oh, quality, quality.
Quality, and that's what we were saying about Tales. Yeah. That it's all about quality and keeping the standard up.
It really is. Like, there's just so much to this industry that you just need to keep going. It's very competitive. There's a lot of people that you think are working against you. You're in competition all the time, but you have to find, again, what you said, like a community, a group of social kind of similar-minded people to you that are going to have you back. They're going to look after you and you're going to look after them. I do it all the time. If I see a casting call for someone that doesn't look anything like me, but it'll look like someone like you, for example, I'll tag you in it. Even if it looked like, even if we looked alike, I'd still tag you in it because I want to help you out.
Yeah.
Like, that's just how it is. That's how you've got to be. Like, you're not all out for yourself, but you kind of are at times. But then you've got to look after each other. That's how you build a social network, and that's how you get through things. And then if you're having bad days, you can talk to each other. You're in relation to it. You're in the same industry. This is a very, very difficult
place
to be.
It can be quite an isolating job. Like, a lot of the work you're doing on your own. So finding that community, I think, is so important. And you know, I do my workshops as well, and that's one of the reasons that I do the workshops, is because I'm trying to create a community of actors that are supporting each other, because it can often feel like we're always in competition with one another. That makes you feel so separate, and then that causes
it can cause quite a lot of anxiety and feelings
of loss, and we don't need any more of that. So find a community
together.
I guess I'm trying to say a community of like-minded individuals who want the same things as you, I suppose, is another good piece of advice.
It's just so important to keep going. Like, I know the industry can just drop at times. It is very quiet and things are shutting down. Like, it's very underfunded, is the art industry, in my opinion. From what I've seen, it's very, very underfunded by our government, so there is a lot of things that are wrong with it. But that doesn't mean you just stall. You just keep going. You just find your people, your network. The indie film is, the indie film industry is always looking for actors. Just keep pushing.
And the other thing that I would say is, know what it is that you're getting yourself into. I think people have this ideology of what being an actor is, and it's very different to the reality. Mm-hmm. The long working hours, the no's, the rejections, the raining in all sorts of weather. You know the reality. I know the reality. Make sure you do your homework, because it takes an individual who is so passionate about it to keep at it. Yeah. And if you're not, if you're doing it for reasons that are not for the love of telling stories and entertaining people because you buzz off of it, then if you find something else that you love more, do that. Because in all honesty, it's tough. It's hard, very tough. And it takes perseverance and strength and courage to stay in this industry. So make sure you really want it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, don't, like, just obviously keep kind of humble about things. Be kind to people. Be nice. Don't be... There's a lot of kind of, you're going to meet a lot of different people in this industry, and some of them aren't going to be as nice as you. So sometimes you just need to keep grounded and kind of think, I'm going to treat this person how I would want to be treated at this audition. Or I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. You've got to lift each other up because it is so hard. And I think having that definitely inspires you to keep going. It definitely gives you that oomph. But yeah, like you say, you need to put all your passion, energy, time, effort into it. Otherwise, it's just going to fizzle. But yeah, you just need to just keep motivated. I know it's difficult and it's easier said than done because I've been there, but there is always work out there. And another big tip that I can give young people doing auditions as well, once you've done one audition, leave it. Forget you even did it and do another one. Just keep doing them. Just keep doing them. Keep getting these. And if you don't get tapes, find your own. Sometimes agents can be very quiet, and obviously there's a lot of work that they're putting out there for different people that a lot of places are just not gonna, there's a lot of companies that won't even see it. Do you know what I mean? Because they've got so many applications coming through for different people. So I think sometimes don't rely on your agent. Definitely don't rely on your agent. Just keep going, keep doing things that you want to do, and apply for characters that are going to interest you as well. Don't just apply for anything, because I find that especially when you first start out, obviously, you can't be picky, too picky, but I do think you need to have a standard of what you want to do,
what you want
to
do,
in order to feel passionate about that role. Otherwise, it's just not going to show in your audition. And it's definitely 100%. Not going to show in the film at the end.
Right.
So, yeah.
And you owe that to yourself and to the people that you're working with, because if you're not passionate about that part, then it's...
Exactly.
Yeah. Love that.
Yeah.
So oh, just amazing.
All that information. I know it's an information dump, but buy Michaela's book.
It's all in it.
It's just, all in there.
Just all in it.
We're just repeating. Well, not all of it is.
It was so lovely to meet you. Finally. And hopefully we can catch up again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. And I definitely want to do your classes as well. Yeah. It was so nice.
It would.
I'll just love it.
How can people find you?
People, you can find me on Instagram, Danny, DANNI underscore Shepherd, SHEPHERD. I'm spelling it out because everyone spells it wrong. What about you?
Yeah, Instagram, Facebook, all the X, whatever they're called. I don't really use that one so much, but Instagram's probably better. Friends. So I have a website, michaelalongdon.com, if you're interested in coaching. And I have an Instagram for my acting, Michaela underscore Longdon. So
I think I follow both.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. I'll follow yourself.
I love it.
If you find her, you'll find me.
Yeah. If you find one of us, you'll find us.
And get in touch if you've got
any questions, guys. Just let us know. Or
not too many.
I'm not got that much time. I'm too busy. I'm
joking. Love it.